Good morning, everybody. It is November 28th, 2021. Our first podcast after Thanksgiving. I hope you had an amazing Thanksgiving. We certainly did up here. And then, of course, we had the performances of the Nutcracker over the weekend. Absolutely wonderful performances, and it gave us the chance to get up to the big city, what passes for the big city around here, and I had me some Texas Roadhouse after the Sunday performance for the first time in a long time. Made it to Texas Roadhouse. You know what was great there? No one was wearing a mask, not even the servers. Not even the servers. Most places you go up here in the Adirondacks in the North Country, you're not seeing too many masks in the grocery stores, certainly nothing outdoors. But a lot of the restaurants, a lot of the servers have still been wearing masks. Not at all at Texas Roadhouse. That was great to see. All right, we got a lot of news to catch up on, so let's get into it. If you haven't been checking the Substack, by the way, adkhomeroom.substack.com, I've been keeping up with the news over the Thanksgiving weekend there. But this is our first podcast to get to the new variant, the Xi variant, right? We're going to call the new variant of the SARS-CoV-2 virus out of South Africa, we're going to call it the Xi variant here because, you know, that's the next Greek letter. Well, I guess the next Greek letter is actually Xi, X-I, so it would be pronounced different than Xi Jinping. But the WHO, the World Health Organization, is obviously just kowtowing to Xi Jinping here. And also, so they're calling it Omicron because they don't want to upset China's despotic leader, their tyrant. The other reason, and we're not going to stand for that, so I'm standing up. I think everybody should stand up. Let's just call it the Xi variant. It's the Xi variant. That's what it should have been. It's ridiculous. We don't play these Voldemort you-know-who games and skip over letters just to please some overlord. And also, I have to say, right, I am one of the 10 people who actually played Omicron, the Nomad Soul, all the way through on release. The great David Bowie video game from the early 2000s, if you're not familiar with Omicron, the Nomad Soul. So when somebody starts talking about Omicron, or I don't care how you pronounce it, when somebody starts talking about Omicron, we're talking about a David Bowie video game as far as I'm concerned, and I would, frankly, never sully the great David Bowie's name with something that came gushing forth from some vile pool of bat blood or lab scum in a Chinese monster spawning hinterland. Yeah, that's right. Monster spawning hinterland. I'm referring to Wuhan, of course, here. I mean, what has come out of China's monster spawning hinterland? SARS-CoV-2, avian flu, right? That's the bird flu. We had that big scare about 12 years ago, all from China. All from China. It's not like you hear about the Wolverine flu coming out of Michigan, right? It's not like there's a vast reservoir of escargot over there in France on those plates crapping out deadly new plagues every couple of decades. Oh, oui, I have some pandemic. Let's call it, the French plague. No, you don't see that. There's no monster spawning over there. Nothing like this. You know what? I'm looking at China on a map these days. I look at the hinterlands there. I look at Wuhan, and I think of those monster spawners in Gauntlet. You ever play that old video game Gauntlet where you have to get through? It's like an action RPG, early ARPG, one of the progenitors of Diablo, if you will. And you have to fight through all these mobs, and then you finally get to the spawners that are producing all these monsters that you have to fight your way through. And it's like this little icon on the screen. It kind of looks like a pile of bones that things are rising up out of. That's what we've got in Wuhan. It's the monster spawner out there, right? It's like the Fetcherfly Hive Mound in Vardenfell in the Elder Scrolls series, or that picture in the old Deities and Demigods Dungeons and Dragons book. You know that Shub-Niggurath, the black goat of the woods with 1,000 young. It's this amazing Errol Otis psychedelic mind-bending illustration of a like a lime-colored, lemon-scented 30-yard radius pile of ooze, legs and tentacles and eyeballs constantly forming and deliquescing and splashing, and occasionally you get that little mini-goat with a needle tongue breaking out of the membrane on the shore, and he toddles off into the woods to be an avatar of chaos in the world. Yeah, yeah, that's China. That's Wuhan. Shub-Niggurath of viruses. Well, Wall Street Journal says, you know, that it's the Omicron, it's not Xi, because the body cited the best practices for naming diseases, the body being World Health Organization here, best practices for naming diseases that seek to avoid causing offense to any cultural, social, national, regional, professional, or ethnic groups. Yeah, I'm kind of ready for some offense, right? This disease has killed 5.25 million people worldwide. I am ready to be offended. I am offended. I mean, think I'm even offended more that people would avoid a letter in the alphabet just to placate the feelings of some dictator, some Communist Party leader over in China. Very offensive, frankly, you know? But I just called them the Shub-Niggurath of viruses. So I guess it's pretty clear that I'm ready to offend people. Oh, my. Past caring about people's feelings here. Just need to proceed efficiently as possible toward a solution. And remember, right, that Xi Jinping is famously thin-skinned. Famously, right? That Winnie and Tigger picture, do you know about this? He basically banned Winnie the Pooh from the Chinese internet because there was a picture that surfaced of Xi and Obama. Thanks, Obama. And a picture surfaced of them. And let's face it, Jinping, he's got a pudge factor. You know, he is not the most svelte of tyrants. You don't see him posting shirtless pictures wrestling tigers like Putin does to cultivate his cult of personality. Cultivated cult there. You don't see Xi out there, you know, flexing bare-chested on some sort of Mongol horde horse, whooping it up, riding along the Great Wall. You don't see that because his physique is a little bit Winnie the Pooh-ish. And, you know, Obama had that lanky basketball physique thing going on for a while, at least there. And they were walking, Xi and Obama, and somebody said, hey, looks like Winnie the Pooh and Tigger walking next to each other. And they posted this side-by-side picture, you know, how the memes go these days. And you had Xi and Obama, and then right next to them, juxtaposed, if you will, you had Winnie the Pooh and Tigger. And, you know, instead of saying, oh, haha, that's kind of a funny meme. Yeah, maybe I should think about what's going on here. Instead of reacting in any normal way, she just banned. He pressed the red ban button, and now there's no Winnie the Pooh in China anymore. That's right. The Pooh got memory hold. It just completely disappeared. Kingdom Hearts 3, right? Great video game. It's got the whole 100-acre wood in it and Winnie the Pooh. You try to play that in China, it's just a white, blurry blob where Winnie the Pooh is. All because, right, the head honcho of the socialist government there, the Chinese Communist Party, the head honcho, has a little thin skin, right? He's fragile. He's a special snowflake, that Xi. And so he had to ban Winnie the Pooh everywhere. But hey, I guess it's like my grandma always said, right? There are two types of people in the world. There's one type, and if you call them pudgy, then they get on the treadmill and put down the Swedish fish and sour cream casserole. And there's another type that if you call them pudgy, they shoot you and rape your family. So seriously, look at those Uyghur camps, right? Credible reports, very credible, of Chinese using rape as torture in the Uyghur concentration camps. The Wall Street Journal goes on to say, of course, Xi is a common surname in China shared by the president. Until the practice of naming variants after characters in the Greek alphabet was adopted in May, new strains of the virus were commonly referred to by the country where they were first detected. Ooh, there's an idea. Instead of just insulting all the people with last name Xi, we could insult the entire country. Wonder what we would call the SARS-CoV-2 virus if only it would stuck to that old method, right? Obviously, the Chinese virus, the Wuhan virus, just like the Coxsackie virus, right? I'm here in the Adirondacks. Coxsackie is a place right down there. And it's a pretty funny word, Coxsackie. But you don't hear people from Coxsackie going out there and protesting the World Health Organization, please change our name to the Chi Psi Upsilon Mu variant. Nobody says that because people in Coxsackie, they can deal with it. They're like, oh, yeah, Coxsackie. That's a pretty funny name, right? That's a pretty funny name, Coxsackie. They can deal with it. They're not these fragile guys out there. Instead, China, they have to try to rewrite history. They have to control their information. It's dystopian. It is the future that everybody has been warning us about. The whole point is that some kid 80 years from now, 2100, some kid is going to be calling it SARS-CoV-2 virus instead of the Chinese virus or the Wuhan virus that caused that whole pandemic back in 2020 and 2021. And who knows how much longer this is going to go on. It's going to be the SARS-CoV-2 virus instead of the Wuhan Institute of Oops, Did I Do That virus, right? Remember, did I do that? Remember, did I do that? Steve Urkel. Loved Urkel. Did I do that? I'm wearing you down, Laura. I'm wearing you down. Love Steve Urkel. And the best was Stefan Urkel, right? So anyway, I guess the Wuhan Institute of Virology must have loved Urkel too, because that is their tagline the last couple of years. Did I do that? You can just picture them over there, right? Remember that Shakespeare episode of Urkel? Didst I do that? Oh, what a great show. Need more of that. But there's more going on in the news. There's more going on. Let's keep moving through it here. Of course, you had this weekend super news for yours truly, Michigan beating Ohio State. Now, look, the greater point here is that some people in the rationalist sphere think that sports are just a waste of time. You know what? These people lack perspective, right? I got news for them. From a galactic perspective, this is all a waste of time. There is no one out there around Wolf 359 or Kepler 452b or floating in some distributed consciousness in a galactic dark energy council that cares about your little theory about like seasonal variations in LGBTQ discrimination in the gig economy, okay? The aliens are not getting excited about that. This is all nothing on the galactic scale. There's nothing here happening on this backwards little planet, this rocky terrestrial ball of normal matter that is going to, be setting the galaxy on fire. All right. It's all nothing from a galactic perspective. So if you're out there saying, oh, sports don't matter, that's nothing. Well, then, you know what? I think that you need to get a little bit of perspective. Okay. And I'm sorry if this is a little bit heavy for your Monday morning, but none of this matters on the galactic or even just, a local group scale or I should say, 100 light years scale, something like that. There's really a great truth actually buried. If you're watching sports and you watch 110,000 people singing Mr. Brightside in the snow in Ann Arbor on Saturday, what happened, if you don't know, is that Ann Arbor, home to Michigan. Michigan football is huge. It's a way of life there. And for the first time in 10 years, Michigan beat their arch rivals, Ohio State. And people stayed on the field for half an hour afterwards. You could hear them singing all the way across the city. It was a fantastic scene of celebration here. And the truths that are hidden in there is that the truth is really, more consequential than, these little econ papers that come out everywhere, these social science papers, multivariate analysis of delayed menarche in schools that ban peanuts, things like this that come out. Here is the truth. And the truth is that in college sports and college football, they are a great demonstration of people's willingness to play along and stay silent and not call out the emperor for having new clothes. It is a great concrete demonstration of how, you know how before World War II, there are all these public opinion polls in Nazi Germany, Socialist Germany, and they asked all of the people under the Socialist Workers Party there, Nazi Party, they asked them, you know, do you support this disgusting view? Do you support this idea? All these different Nazi ideas that they had there, fascist, racist, anti-Semitic views, and all these views were polling at really popular levels, really high levels. And you look back at it now and you're like, what? These people are people. How can they subscribe to such horrific, disgusting views? Well, you know, they knew what side their streusel was buttered on, right? The Nazis had come into power. The Nazis had all the power. And so this is where we get the phrase, you know, toeing the party line. So everybody goes along with it. And college sports, nobody ever talks about it, so I'll talk about it. College sports are a great example of that. Not nearly as bad, of course, as anti-Semitism or anything like that, but just an example of silence and refusing to speak up. Because all these announcers, Joel Klatt, Gus Johnson, love you guys. Kirk Herbstreit, you're a Buckeye, but love you too. All these announcers out there, all these talking heads from Paul Feinman to Stephen A. to everybody else, they do not tell their listeners the basic truth that these teams are paying their players six figures, especially the top five teams in college football, Oklahoma, Clemson, Georgia, Alabama. I guess you could throw in LSU there, Ohio State, maybe six. They have such a network of bagmen and payments that no one else could really compete. And that's why you saw this crazy selection effect where those were the only five teams really making any noise in the college football playoffs since the inception of the college football playoffs, you know, a decade or a little bit less than a decade ago. That's why, right? And what's funny is that people, even when you point this out to them, they're like, no, it can't be that bad. It's not that Oklahoma is paying its best players six figures. No way. Clemson? No way. They're not giving people $500,000 to go to Clemson. That's ridiculous. I'm telling you, that's what it is. Let's go through here. I have like 6 points here, right? So the first point is that you have to be prepared if you're going to go into this. You have to be prepared that people are going to attack you because they somehow college sports to them is a sacred cow, and they don't want, you know, to think that there's any sort of quid pro quo going on. So if you're going to discuss this, get ready to get your big boy pants on because people are going to come at you. It's like when I was at Long Island teaching, and I sat down at the teacher's desk one day, and I happened to mention that I didn't like Barbara Streisand. Ooh, boy, I came out of there one toasty young teacher. They lit me up. They lit me up, those middle-aged women on Long Island. They kind of like Babs. They really do. And they could not stand me saying that I even had a little bit of reservation about being a 100% fan. Oh, my. So, yeah, you're going to get attacked if you look at this honestly. But here's point two. Just look at basketball, right? The evidence is from the FBI. They discovered it by accident because they don't even want to get into this, right? The NCAA has abdicated its role as an enforcement agency. But look at basketball. The FBI found with this wiretap program that they had going on for a different purpose, they stumbled into the fact that all these coaches are using the public educational system, and that's how the FBI sort of felt they had to get involved once they discovered everything, using the public educational system to do things that they are not supposed to do. And there, you know, you have people on the phone, Sean Miller from Arizona, right, talking about giving guys $10,000 a month, right? And that's cash. That's on top of all the other gifts they're getting, tickets, cars, no-show jobs, tattoos, women, right? Louisville, Patino got run out of there, basically run into escort service on campus in Louisville. I'm not making that up. They had escort service coming in and out of campus every official visit. This is the world of NCAA sports, where we're talking six-figure salaries for these players. We're talking, you know, tattoos, cars. I personally have seen a lot of this, by the way, and I'll get to that in a second. I personally haven't seen drugs, but I wouldn't be surprised. In fact, I'd be surprised if it weren't there in a lot of college campuses, right? So that's just it. Next point, it's not just basketball. That's where the FBI has the wiretaps. Go out and listen to them if you're not believing me. Next point is, it's not just basketball. Listen to Rashawn Gary talking to Sam Webb. $300,000 from Clemson, just as signing bonus, just as cash, plus everything else that was going to go on there. That's football, if you're not aware who Rashawn Gary is, or the great Sam Webb. So the next point is, the fourth point here is, I'm not sure why people don't believe this. And I think some of it has to do with, they like to keep their old alma mater pure and true, and they don't like to see it as corrupted or in any way compromised. But I think also of it is, some people don't understand how little $300,000 or $500,000 is to some people. I think a lot of people out there are thinking that there's no way that people could just be shelling out $400,000 to some kid who may or may not pan out at the D1 level. Well, the answer is yeah, they absolutely can, right? The first time I saw it as a very young teacher, I went to my school's fundraiser, and I saw some of the parents there spending double my annual salary to buy at the school fundraising auction, to buy the little ticket that made their daughter principal of the middle school for a day. And they were spending, I think I was making like $80,000 there at the time, just going back, and they were spending $150,000 just to make their daughter principal of the middle school for a day. That was a little discouraging, right? I mean, if I were running a private school, I think I'd be having those auctions for teachers. Bid it up, right? Teacher incentives, parent incentives. Can you imagine the trust necessary for that? You know, trust is driven by necessity. People don't realize that a lot. How many times do people just start to trust each other because they have no choice, right? Enemy mine is accurate in that situation. Politics makes strange bedfellows, as they say, and people hop in to bed together politically when they have to. And bedfellow is a really weird word, right? Bedfellow? Do you ever call your partner a bedfellow, right? Where else in our language do we even use that word? Do you say, hey, I really like you. Maybe I was thinking later tonight we could be bedfellows. Nobody does that. You don't pass that note in high school with the box on it. You know, do you like me? Check, no, or bedfellow. I mean, nobody does that. Taylor Swift, she's got a song called Lover. Doesn't have a song called Bedfellow. Ed Sheeran's not out there, bad habits lead to late nights ended with a bedfellow. No, I don't even know if it's a word, but people say politics, you know, make strange bedfellows. Whatever. All right, next point. Fifth point here. You know, this is the point about me seeing it personally. I've had the good fortune to coach a basketball at a pretty high level. We're talking like, you know, Division I, Power 5, top 20 teams, national championship teams, actually. Their coaches in my gym recruiting players, and I've seen the kids on the high school team getting tens of thousands of dollars, not necessarily straight up cash compensation, but in everything from tuition to vehicles to tickets to transportation. It's out there, and I've seen tens of thousands of dollars in compensation for kids who weren't even going to go D1. They just fit into the role on the team. And that's just in high school for a kid who isn't even going on to college, tens of thousands of dollars. So yeah, it's out there, folks. It is out there. So that's my point. And my last point is, if you don't think it's big, if you don't think it's dominating college sports, then just look up at McAllister, President's article about the University of North Carolina in 2012. after University of North Carolina had that horrific scandal where they created new classes just for their athletes, and then after they created them just for their athletes, they realized, well, this is pretty obvious what we're doing. We need to let other students take these classes too. So then they gave everybody fake grades. They literally did. They just gave everybody fake grades that had the knowledge to sign up for these classes. Then, you know, the president of McAllister College penned that famous op-ed, and he said, you know, University of North Carolina should really lose its accreditation. Now, that was never going to seriously happen. It's too big to fail, as they say. But it should have happened. Tar Heels should have been dead. They should have been not an accredited university anymore because they made up grades for something like 12% of their entire student body for the 4 or 5 years that those classes were going there. It's that big. It's that pervasive, folks. And it has dominated college sports for the last decade plus, ever since the NCAA abdicated its enforcement role. Occasionally, the NCAA had to get involved, like with the Ole Miss incident where the gas mask video came out on the NFL draft day, and then the NCAA was like, oh, okay, well, I guess we'll slap you on the wrist a little bit. But nothing like Southern Methodist got in the 80s, right? I mean, Ole Miss is already back. Ole Miss is back at the fringe. They're not really in the playoff picture, but they won the Egg Bowl the other day. They're having a great season. They're in top 10. So what's changed, right? This year, finally, some new blood starting to break through. Well, name and image license rights have changed. NIL is finally here. NCAA has finally been shamed and embarrassed into letting these young adults make money on their name and their image. And that is somewhat evening the playing field. Now, you're probably saying, wait, how could that be already evening the playing field? That just happened, like, just this year. And colleges are on multi-year recruiting cycles. It takes a while for players to develop. Well, you know what? All I can tell you is that is one of the Big Ten rules. Haha, see what I did there? But it is. It's one of the Big Ten rules. Everything always changes faster than you think. Always. The change always comes more quickly than you think. And yeah, that's it. NIL already changing things up. A couple more news items we have to get through here. This is a weird item. It's a new item, but it sounds old. Here we go. This is from the Associated Press. Mexican regulators have approved Canadian Pacific's $31 billion railroad deal to acquire Kansas City Southern, which would create a railroad linking Mexico, Canada, and the United States. Whoa. Oh, come on now. Let's not get crazy now, right? Are you kidding me? A railroad that could link up Mexico, Canada, and the United States? Whoa. I'm not sure if me and my gramophone and my icebox and my pitchfork are ready for that sort of crazy newfangledness, right? That's some crazy newfangledness right there. A railroad that actually connects three countries. $31 billion we need to spend on that. Or these companies, rather, should spend on that. It's not a public project. I kind of feel like, you know, if it were $31 billion for me, maybe we should invent some indoor plumbing. Outhouse is getting full, Cousin Eddie. Outhouse is getting full. Maybe invent one of them boxes with the moving pictures on it. Seriously, this is the 21st century. We're talking about a new project to connect a railroad across three countries. This thing sounds silly. Come on. And then it gets even worse. The Associated Press article goes on to note, it's unclear if U.S. regulators will approve the deal. Oh, so we might not even get our great 19th century advancement. Our 1800s technology is out of reach. We can't even build a railroad that will go across borders. Oh, just like, you know, Kyle Rittenhouse crossed state lines. Can't even cross a country line. We got tons of immigrants crossing the country lines, but we can't build a railroad. That technology is beyond us to cross the border with a railroad. Holy cow. Can't even get, you know, that guy. I'm just picking that guy. Picturing some guy out there with like his squeegee with a bandana, holding his lunch tied off on the end of his squeegee, held over his shoulder, standing at the border there, maybe in Port Huron, trying to get into Canada, and nobody can figure out how to build a railroad going in there. Obviously, they can figure out how to build a railroad. It's just the problem is the regulations. Mm-hmm. Couple more items here. Going back to the moon, right? That's a technology we would like to go back to, just like the railroads. Well, South China Morning Post, which my school hates, my school inexplicably banned South China Morning Post for years at the school. I found that hilarious. Anyway, so South China Morning Post is announcing that China has developed a new fission reactor for space exploration. Don't get your hopes up. This isn't nuclear pulse propulsion. If you see this headline, they're just talking about a fission reactor that they could put down in their moon base. Ooh, it's 1 megawatt. And this is supposedly 100 times more powerful than the one NASA is developing for their own moon base. Wow. I mean, I believe that. Nobody. I'm not going to make the mistake of underestimating NASA. You could go pretty low with your estimates of NASA and still be safe. But 1 megawatt, I mean, that's 1,000 microwaves, right? Your microwave is about 1 kilowatt. So a megawatt is about 1,000 microwaves at once. That's, you know, this is nothing huge. It's just they've got a fission reactor that they're going to put up there. And it's really pretty much a nothing burger. If you see this headline out there, you know, developing a fission reactor, that's not the problem with space travel. The problem with space travel is not electricity generation. I've said it a million times. The two problems with space travel are propulsion and shielding from radiation. That's it. Propulsion and shielding from radiation. They both have the same solution, which is nuclear pulse propulsion, because obviously that solves the propulsion problem and it gives you enough thrust that you could allow, you could have cargo space for your radiation. You just need mass to provide radiation shielding. Just need mass, something like a ton per square meter out in interplanetary space in our solar system. It's a lot. You need a lot of mass to shield yourself, and nuclear pulse propulsion would allow that. So anyway, don't get excited about that Chinese nuclear fission reactor. Nothing burger. Next, Ghislaine Maxwell's trial starting today. The big surprise there, the most interesting thing there is she's not dead yet. Not sure why, you know, maybe Epstein wasn't murdered, but all appearances, Occam's razor seems to be suggesting that he was, but you never know. We don't know for sure. Need a lot more transparency there, obviously. Next item, China cracking down in Macau, right? China is taking the fun out of everything. If you're under 18 there, you're only allowed to play video games for 3 hours a week in China. And now a lot of the gambling companies in Macau, their stocks down like 30% over the weekend because China not just tightening their grip on the gambling industry, but they actually took some big CEO there and are bringing him up on charges in court. So, you know, China's going the way of Dubai and the knots, right? Remember Dubai? Flirted with capitalism. They at one point in Dubai in like 2005, 17%, one out of every six cranes in the world was in Dubai. They were building so fast. And then, you know, once they got to a certain point, they were like, ooh, thank you, capitalism. Now you rest. You go sit out, right? It's like DiCaprio moving on from his latest girlfriend. We're going to move past. But and that's kind of like China right now, right? They're like they've been way more capitalist than the West over the last 20 or 30 years. Just look at Evergrande not getting bailed out the way that all the Western companies got bailed out in 2008, or the United States companies got bailed out in 2008. So China's been way more capitalist than the U.S. over the last 20 years, 30 years even. However, they seem to be throwing that all away. Lately, a lot of crackdowns here. We'll see what happens. Although they still haven't bailed out, you know, Evergrande. So maybe they are going to find a way to thread the needle and still stay economically capitalist, but not allow freedom outside of business. We'll see. We'll see. It's been a little bit surprising that they've been so successful doing it so far. We will see. But the general rule is economics hath no fury like capitalism scorned, right? Like moving on from whoever, if you're some movie star, I guess I said DiCaprio earlier, China, United Arab Emirates, moving on from capitalism. I don't think that's going to go well if they really do. We'll see. We'll see if China can maintain freedom economically with increased crackdowns politically. And that's going to do it here for today. I hope that you have a wonderful Monday. Hope we didn't get too heavy for you on this Monday with that galactic perspective. Check out the Substack, adkhomeroom.substack.com. Find me on Twitter, adkhomeroom. Let me know what you are thinking. Remember to subscribe. Take care.